discovered in Psalm 1, that if you and I are going to be able to enjoy the blessings that God has for us, then separation is an absolute must. And that is, we've been learning that God really wants to bless us in a lot of different areas of our life. And we've talked about some of the areas of God's blessings, as well as we've been looking at the avenues of God's blessings. That is the avenue we got to get on if we want to be able to receive all the blessings that God has intended for us. And beginning with the avenue of salvation, that is, you got to get off the wide avenue, the wide road that leads to destruction, and get on the narrow road that leads to everlasting life. And we discovered that Jesus is the one who, ladies and gentlemen, transfers us from one avenue to another, from the avenue of lostness to the avenue of salvation. The answer is Christ. He's the only one that can save us from the condition that we're in and set us on a brand new road in life, on our way to glory, on our way to the inheritance that God has reserved for us in heaven. And as we travel down the avenue of salvation in this life, looking forward to being in the presence of God someday, there's many different other avenues that you can go down as a redeemed child of God and receive the blessings that God has for your life now that you are in Christ. And we began looking at some of those, beginning with the avenue of humility in John 13, as Jesus humbled himself and told his disciples that if they want to be blessed or happy, that that's what they needed to do as well. All the way now down to the avenue of separation. We spent some time on each one of these ideas found in the Scripture that lead to the blessings of God, these roads, avenues that lead to the blessing of God. And we've been discovering about the avenue of separation. In Psalm 1:1, let me read it to you again. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. You and I have discovered, ladies and gentlemen, that in Psalm 1, verse number 1 and following, that those who are blessed, that is blessed of God, are those who are living a separated life. They're on the avenue of separation. In verse number 1, we discovered that that involves separation from the world. And we spent several services looking at this idea. The reason why we spent some time is because it is so very important. And that is, the devil has designed a world system. And that world system designed by the enemy of God, ladies and gentlemen, is for the purpose of doing the same thing that it did to Eve in the Garden of Eden, of lying to you and deceiving you. His purpose is destruction, and he wants to destroy you, child of God. He wants to destroy your walk with God. He wants to destroy your fellowship with the believers. He wants to destroy your testimony to the lost. And so you and I need to separate ourselves from this evil world system designed by the devil so that we might be able to receive all the blessings that God has for us and will not be robbed of the blessings that God intended for our lives. And we spend some time talking about that, looking at the example of Lot, and then going to the New Testament and examining 2 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning of verse 14, all the way through chapter 7 and verse number 1, an important passage dealing with the promise of blessing for those who separate themselves from the world. We discovered how to do that. That is by, ladies and gentlemen, the idea of cleansing ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, and then perfecting holiness in the fear of God. And we spent some time in those verses just trying to learn a little bit more about how to be separated from the world. Separation from the world so that we might be able to experience the blessings of God. Listen to me now. You cannot be walking in the counsel of the ungodly, and you cannot be standing in the way of sinners and sitting in the seat of the scornful and experience all the blessings that God has for you. God wants to bless you. He wants to bless you with His power. He wants to bless you with a great ministry personally and as a church. But if you and I are living worldly lives and don't separate ourselves from the world, then, ladies and gentlemen, many of those blessings become limited in our lives. And so we have to separate ourselves from the world. When we're talking about the avenue of separation, we're talking about separation from the world. But I want you to notice with me a second aspect of separation. Not only separated from the world, but also separated to the Word. Look at verse number 2. But, and listen, when you get to the little word but, it's an adversative conjunction. And when you get there and you see that whenever you're reading through the Bible, you know that you're about ready to get the flip side of what you just read. You're about to get something that is opposite. You're about to hear another view that's different from the one you just read. It said, instead of walking in the counsel of the ungodly, instead of standing in the way of sinners, instead of sitting in the seat of the scornful, instead of that, the man who is blessed, his delight is in the law of the Lord. Listen to me now, paraphrasing, he's so delighted about the law that he meditates in it day and night. And that is, we're talking about, ladies and gentlemen, not only being separated from the world, but now we're talking about being separated to the Word of God. That is, delighted by the Word and not by the world. You say, how can you tell whether you're separated or not? Well, listen to me now. If you're delighted by the Word and not by the world, you might be separated. But if you're more delighted by the things of the world than you are the Word of God, then you are not separated. You're not going to be able to experience all the blessings that God has for you. Let me just put it this way. If you get more excited about going to a secular entertainment venue, ladies and gentlemen, than you do gathering together at the house of God to study the Word of God, then listen to me now, you may not be separated. And that is, delighted more by the world than you are by the Word, then probably you're not living a separated life. Listen, those who are separated are set apart to learning and obeying the Word of God dominating our lives. When the Bible talks about meditating day and night, it's talking about somebody whose life, ladies and gentlemen, revolves around the Word of God. I mean, the Word of God is what their life revolves around. Not the world, but the Word. Now, these are the folks, whenever they go to work, ladies and gentlemen, with the Word of God on their mind. They are thinking about the Word of God, thinking about what God's been saying to them through the Word and what they've been hearing taught in the Word and how it applies to their life, in their workplace, in their secular life outside of church setting. They're thinking about the Word of God and how God can use them to spread the Word in that place. We're not talking about isolating ourselves from the world. We're just talking about, ladies and gentlemen, being a witness to the world by taking the Word of God, by shining forth the Word of life into this crooked and perverse generation that you and I live in. And that is separated from the world, but separated to the Word of God. Now, that's God's purpose for you. That is, if God wants to bless you, and that's the reason why, ladies and gentlemen, that you need to set yourself apart and say, you know what, my life is not going to revolve around the world, the things of the world. Though I live in the world, my life is going to revolve around the Word of God. Now, when the Bible talks here about this, that is, it talks about our delight being in the law of the Lord, meditating in it day and night, what we're talking about, ladies and gentlemen, is the priority of the Word. If I had a first point dealing here with separation to the Word of God, I would like to talk to you about the priority of the Word. When we're talking about being separated to the Word, we're talking about the Word of God being the priority in our lives. When I use the word priority, you know what I mean, that this is most important in my life. The Word of God, the most important in my life. Listen, it is more important, ladies and gentlemen, it is more important than the basic necessities of life. You see, I'm not just talking about the Bible, the Word of God, being more important than another book, or the Word of God just being more important than spending time on the internet, but I'm talking about the Word of God even being more important than the basic necessities of life. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? I'm talking about, ladies and gentlemen, the Word of God being more important than the food that we eat. You say, Pastor, I mean, I like to eat. But listen to me now. This is the psalmist is setting before us the picture of someone who is so delighted in the Word that his mind is on it day and night. That's what he thinks about all the time, is the Word of God. And it's more important than anything else in his life. Why, Psalm 112, verse 1 says this, "Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments." Who's blessed? The one who delights in the commandments of God, not those who just endure the Word of God, but who delight in the Word of God. Not those who just endure reading the Bible, not those who just endure a Bible study or endure a preaching service, but those who are delighted by the Word of God. I mean, it is the most important thing in their life. It's more important than the food that we eat. Pastor, I can't imagine anything more important than food. I mean, that would be really radical, wouldn't it? But listen to the psalmist in Psalm 119. Listen, that entire psalm, the longest of the psalms, is all about the Word of God and the law of God and the statutes of God, and it is well worth your reading. It is, ladies and gentlemen, a masterpiece of the psalms. In Psalm 119 and verse 103, listen to what it says. Psalm 119, 103 says, "How sweet are thy words unto my taste." Listen to this next phrase. "Yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth." Oh, I love the Word of God more than I love eating sweets. Now, some of you are getting a little nervous right about now because your A1C has been up a little bit, and here I am talking about eating sweets. And listen to me now, about the time that I realize I'm not supposed to be eating sweets is when I start craving them just a little bit, if you know what I mean. Just about all of us like eating something sweet once in a while. And I know some of you may not, but I do. And I even like a little bit of honey, like it's talking about here, once in a while. Now, you shouldn't eat too much honey according to the Scripture, but a little bit of honey is all right. But I tell you, listen to me now, there's something better than sweet honey. There's something better than dessert. There's something better than candy. There's something better than all of that. It's the Word of God. Here's what I found out about Eastern Gate, and that is, if I was a kid, and I still am in a lot of ways, but if I was a kid, if there's any church I'd want to go to, it'd be Eastern Gate. Now, one of the reasons why I'd want to go to church at Eastern Gate is because I see the way they feed those kids. You say, "Pastor, what do you mean?" I mean, before I came over here, they were hauling in pizzas, cartloads of them, to feed whoever's over there in the other building. Now, don't get up and run over there, please. And they feed them, and that is feed them a meal, feed them something to eat. And then, of course, there's probably sweets being passed out as well, and that is candy being handed out as well. And contrary to some, those kids love feeding on the sweets. They love getting something sweet. If I was a kid, I'd want to come to Eastern Gate so I could eat some pizza and some sweets. But do you know, ladies and gentlemen, that even though some of the kids don't know it, I don't think that they quite understand it. There's something going on here at Eastern Gate that's better than that. And it's the Word of God. That is, the psalmist is telling us, ladies and gentlemen, in Psalm 119, that the Word of God to him is sweeter and tastes better and more delightful than even eating the sweet honey. That's the priority of the Word of God in the life of the psalmist. And ladies and gentlemen, even though there are many who don't realize that, listen, the most important thing in life is this book, the Word of God. And listen, that's what it means to be separated to the Word. I mean, when you get to the point in your life where you love the Word of God. And I don't mean just love it in the general sense. I mean, you love the Word of God. It is the priority of your life, and you delight in the Bible. It's better than our food. Better than food. Did you know, ladies and gentlemen, the psalmist tells us that the Word of God is better than money? Now, if there's something the kids love, ladies and gentlemen, it's not only some pizza and some sweets, but they love getting money as well. And you do as well. And that is that we live in a world that is full of greed, and we've been raised to be greedy like the world. But listen to me now. Those who are separated, instead of being greedy like the world, ladies and gentlemen, recognize the value of the Word of God being more important than even money. You say, "Pastor, I don't understand that at all." Well, let me just read it to you. Psalm 119. If you're still there, listen to Psalm 119 and verse number 14. The psalmist says, "I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies." And that is what it is that God has said in his word. He said, "I rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches." He said, "I've rejoiced as much about the testimonies of God, what God has said. I've rejoiced as much in that as I do in riches." And the psalmist was a rich man. He says, "I'm more excited about the Word of God, about the testimonies of God, the Word of God, than I am about wealth." Well, that's not the only time that he says it. That is, he wasn't just having a weak moment. In verse number 72, of Psalm 119, it says, "The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver." Don't you love that verse? He said, the word of God is more important to me and better to me. I like it better than I do. Thousands of gold and silver. Now, you and I have to ask ourselves this question and be honest about it. You have to answer it right now. You can think about it for a little bit. But I mean, what would I be, what would I consider to be better? And that is to listen to a Bible message or a Bible study or to learn the word of God or somebody come by the house and in a big U-Haul with all kinds of gold and silver to give to me. I mean, what would I rather have? Would I rather have a Bible message or Fort Knox? And see, if I was to be real honest and say, you know what, if I had a choice between just being in the house of God and hearing the Word of God and Fort Knox, I'd probably choose Fort Knox, then I'm probably not separated. I'm probably not. The psalmist is telling us here that those who are separated from the world and to the Word are those, ladies and gentlemen, that value or prioritize the Word of God above the basic necessities of life, including money. Why, in Psalm 119, verse 127, this thing continues. It just goes on. It says, "Therefore, I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold." Man, I love the Word of God better than I do the best gold, that is, the most precious gold, the most expensive gold there is. Listen, if you get more excited about receiving gold jewelry, expensive, than you do about hearing the Word of God, then you're probably not separated. Like verse 162 of this same psalm, Psalm 119, and in verse 162, it says, "I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil." Now, the idea of finding great spoil in the Bible, ladies and gentlemen, is not what you find in your refrigerator in the back of it. But finding great spoil is finding something that is discovering something valuable, something it'd be something that those who are warriors would find after the battle. They would go into the area that they defeated and find great value, great treasure, great riches, that is the spoils of the war. So you have to ask yourself, and that is, what would I want most? What would be the most important to me? And that is finding a great treasure. That is, if I found a treasure out there in my backyard, if I was out there digging up a hole to plant my tomato plants in, and I found down there a mason jar full of money, and I mean, there's thousands of dollars in there, would I be more excited about that than I would about the Word of God? Then I may not be separated. The psalmist is telling us here about the Word of God being the delight of his heart, the delight of his life. He thinks about it day and night. It's better than food. Hey, it's better than money. Did you know the Bible, the Word of God, is better than sleep? Now, these are essential things. Food is essential. Money is essential. You can't live without some form of financing. And ladies and gentlemen, sleep is essential. The Bible says in Psalm 119 verse number 62, listen to this verse. It says, At midnight, I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments. Here's a psalmist saying, you know what? He said, I just want to get up in the middle of the night instead of sleeping and just praise you for your righteous judgment. The righteous judgments, ladies and gentlemen, are talking about God's word, his truth, his righteous truth. I'd just like to spend tonight praising you for your word. Now listen to me. I know some folks they're so prioritized, that it's so prioritized their sleeping that they go to bed at a certain time every night. And they get up at a certain time. They make sure they get so many hours of sleep. It's really important to them to get some sleep. But I'm going to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that there's something more important to those who are separated than even sleep. Why is the Word of God? That is, I'd rather hear the Word of God being taught than I would to take a nap or go to sleep. See it again in verse 148 of Psalm 119. Here's what it says. Mine eyes prevent the night watches that I might meditate in thy word. Now I like that, don't you? Oh, yeah. He said, I'd just like to stay up at night so I can just meditate on your word. You know what I found out in serving God in ministry? I found out that there's somebody told me a long time ago, many years ago, and that is that in the daytime you deal with people, but at nighttime you deal with God. And I found that to be true a lot of times. And that is when everybody else starts settling down and going to bed and stops ringing my phone and everything kind of settles down and it's just the quietness of the night. It's a lot of times in that time that, ladies and gentlemen, God starts speaking to my heart and the Word of God starts opening up. And even though my body is tired, ladies and gentlemen, a lot of times it's well worth staying awake just to spend some time in the Word with the Lord. What I'm trying to describe to you, ladies and gentlemen, is trying to describe why it is that the psalmist is saying what he is here about his delight being in the law of the Lord. That is, he's delighted not by the world, but by the Word. It is the priority of his life. And he tells us here that he meditates in the Word day and night. Now, the person who is walking in the blessings of God, hey, listen to me now, not only reads the Word and not only studies the Word and not only memorizes the Word, but the Bible indicates here that he meditates on the Word of God and he does so day and night. Now, listen, you can't meditate on the Word if you haven't been reading the Word. And you can't meditate on the Word if you haven't been studying the Word. You can't meditate on the Word unless you've been listening to the Word. Y'all know that, don't you? You can't meditate on it at all if you haven't done that. That is, you're not going to be able to, those who hear the Word of God preached in church services or in a Bible study, hear the Word of God being taught, listen, if you're just kind of zoning out and not paying any attention, you're not going to be able to meditate on the Word. So implied in this word meditate, implied is the fact that you've been listening to the Word. That is, that you've been listening closely, that you've been listening intently so that you might grab a hold of the reality of what's being said so you can wallow it around in your heart and in your mind. That's what that word meditate means. It means you keep it in your heart and mind so you can bring it back up a little bit later and chew on it a little more. It's kind of like the cow. You know, the cow has all these different stomachs and whenever the cow eats the grass, and swallows it down into its stomach, then sometime later in the day, he might just bring it back up and chew on it a little more. Those of you that have acid reflux can identify with that. Absolutely. Yeah. That's what the word meditate implies. It means this, and that is the Word of God that I've heard. I've swallowed it. I've received it, I've grabbed a hold of it, and I've internalized it on the inside of me. And the Word of God that I've read. Now listen, when you're reading the Word of God, you're not going to understand everything that the Bible is saying. And so you read it, and then you study it to find out what it means. That means you listen as it's being taught, so you can grab a hold of it and understand it even better by those who've been gifted to help us understand it. But I internalize the Word of God. I get it on the inside of me so that I can bring it up and think about it. So I can meditate on it. So that's on my mind and in my heart. And that is that my inner man is now being controlled by the Word of God. That's the idea in this passage. That's the man that's blessed. The one who delights in the law of the Lord is his meditation day and night. His mind's just controlled by the Word of God. Listen to Psalm 119. Once again, listen, you can't get away from this psalm when it comes to understanding what it is the psalmist is saying. Listen to Psalm 119, verse 97. He said, oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Say, Pastor, how can somebody meditate on the Word of God day and night? Well, the psalmist indicates in Psalm 119, 97, that it's the result of loving the law. And that is when you really love something, you think about it a lot. You know what I'm talking about. Maybe there was a time in your life when you fell in love with someone and you couldn't think, all you could do was think about her or think about him. And maybe that when I was talking about loving, when I was talking about sweets a while ago, you said, Pastor, I love sweets. And it might be that you think about sweets a lot. Some of you like sports, and I mean, because you love sports, you think about it a lot. You're just trying to figure out how you can get out of church soon enough to listen to the rest of the game. And that is, the things that we love, we spend a lot of time thinking about those things, about those people. Well, even so, the Bible tells us here that the reason why the psalmist meditates on the Word of God day and night is because the psalmist loves the Word. Listen to me now. Not the world. Remember what John said? Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. He not loving the world, but he loves the Word of God. Psalm 119, verse 99, the Bible says, I have more understanding than all my teachers. That is, this psalmist is saying, I know more than all my teachers do. And here's why. For thy testimonies are my meditation. Hey, you want to get smarter than your teachers? Then just learn the Word of God. Listen to me. Somebody might be listening to this message that's enrolled in college somewhere. I want to say that you can be smarter than most of your teachers in your college if you'll just learn this book. The reason why is because you can explain to them how the world began. They haven't figured it out yet, but you'll know. And by the way, you can tell them how it's going to end up. Now, they haven't figured it out yet, but you can know. And by the way, while they're guessing about how old it is, you can pretty much give them a good ballpark figure. And the reason why is because you've been thinking about and meditating on the Word of God. Meditating on the Word. Listen to Psalm 119, verse 15. Psalm 119, verse number 15, the Bible says, I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Those verses 15 and 16 of this great psalm, ladies and gentlemen, explained to us the reason why that the psalmist is meditating on the precepts or the principles of God's word. He said, because I have respect unto thy ways. I respect the ways of God. That is, there's a connection, is there not, between meditating on the word and respecting or fearing God. Indeed, it's true. He respects the ways of God. He delights in the Word of God. And when he says he delights in his statutes, he means this: I will not forget thy word. Implied in meditation is the fact that we do not forget the Word of God. Now, here's what I've learned. And that is, if I want to remember something, I've got to meditate on it. Whenever I was in school, especially whenever I was in seminary, we had all of these tests that we have to take. And that is, when you're enrolled in a class, you go through the class, you hear the lectures, you take notes, you read the books, you do the research, and then finally there comes a test day. And I found out that the only way I could pass the test is if I memorized the material. Sometimes you knew generally what the material was, the test was going to be about, and sometimes it might be a test over the entire amount of material the entire semester. And you didn't know what it was going to be. And so here's what I had to do. I had to memorize all of the material, if I wanted to do well on the test, all of the material that had been taught that entire semester. You say, Pastor, that seems like that would be impossible. Listen to me now. It's like eating an elephant. You do it one bite at a time. And I would just start, and I would just start working on it and memorizing the material and memorizing the answers. And the only way that I could remember all of that is I just have to keep going over and over it and over it and over it. I'd learned something from that. I remember when I was in Bible college and I was taking Greek class. You had to learn Koine Greek that the New Testament was written in. You got to learn all the meanings of all the Greek words, and you got to learn all the different aspects of the Greek language that was used in that day. And whenever I was learning that, I had about an hour and 15-minute drive one way from where I lived and pastored to where the Bible college was at. And so I fixed these little flashcards. And listen, this was safe driving. It wasn't Louisville. And I fixed these little flashcards, and I had the words, the Greek words written on one side and what they were, what they meant on the other side. And I'm going down the road, and I'm flipping these as I'm driving, and it was very safe, I guarantee it was. And traffic was light, and so I had an hour and 15 minutes one way. And then an hour and 15 minutes back the other way. And listen, I learned the entire Greek. So when it came down to the test, and the test was over the entire semester, I mean, it was the what was called by the professor the mother of all tests. But I had to keep going over and over and over and over and over it again and again as I was driving down the road. Some of you might appreciate that a little bit. I found out as pastoring, and one of the big struggles that I have, that many of you have, is just remembering names of people that you meet. And I found out if I can get their name and get it written down quickly, then I can just go over it and over it and over it. And I try to go over those names so next time I meet them, I can call them by name. Now, I don't know, I'm not always successful at that, but I just found out if I'm going to remember, then I've got to just go over and over it again. Listen, as you're going over and over something like that, it's called meditation. If you hear, listen, if you hear the Word of God and you don't ever think about it anymore, you won't remember it. You just won't. If you listen to the Word of God every service, but you don't wallow that around on the inside of you and think about it, you won't remember it. That's one of the reasons why I just give you some insight so you might know and so you might help your other folks who might be wondering about it. That's the reason why that I keep going over and over things when I preach. Somebody say, why does he keep saying that? The reason why is so that you will meditate or remember it. I don't want you to forget. Ladies and gentlemen, even so, the psalmist is trying to help us with that here in Psalm 119. Listen to verse number 23 of this same chapter. Psalm 119, princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. Thy testimonies are also my delight and my counselors. In other words, the psalmist, the king, is saying, listen, there were those who were coming against me, but I found the answer. That is, I found the answer to the opposition against me, and that is meditating in your statutes, so that your testimonies became my delight and my counselor. Now listen, some of you are facing, listen, some there are some folks listening to this message right now, and you're facing opposition and enmity in your life. And that is, you're going through a rough time. It may not be like this psalmist. It may not be, ladies and gentlemen, it may not be world leaders coming against you or those who are trying to undermine you in your own kingdom. It may not be that. But it might be that there is opposition against you, there's stress in your life, there are people that are coming against you, and there's great trouble in your life, and you say, Pastor, I don't know where to turn. I've got some good advice for you. The psalmist is saying to us here, listen, if you'll just turn to the Word of God, and if you will just not hear the Word, but if you will meditate on the Word of God, and let the Word of God become your counselor. One of the things that I recommend to people who are going through a rough time is to maybe get some counseling. I say that to people a lot. But while I say that, I want you to know, ladies and gentlemen, that I can recommend to you the greatest counselor that there ever has been. The great counselor is not found in the office down the road. The great counselor is the one who lives on the inside of those who are redeemed. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit. Now listen, the Spirit of God understands everything about how you're wired together, your psyche. The psychologist and the psychiatrist are trying to discover that, but the Spirit of God already knows. He sure does. He knows how you're wired together. He knows what's wrong. And he knows how to fix it right. The Spirit of God does. And ladies and gentlemen, the Spirit of God has a means by which he operates. That is, a means by which he operates through to help us. And listen, one of the means, one of the main means that he operates through is the Word of God that is inspired by him for our benefit and to be able to help us and bring blessing into our life. And so when you stop listening to the world and you start meditating on the Word, then you are taking the best medicine and you are getting the best counseling. As a matter of fact, you may well find yourself in one of the greatest recoveries you've ever experienced in your life. Are y'all still with me? Now, I'm not trying to minimize the world of psychology and the world of psychiatry or any of that. I'm not trying to minimize it. I'm actually trying to maximize the reality that there is one who understands that completely. And it is the Spirit of God. By the way, wise counselors, very much try to incorporate the inspired Word of God, inspired by the Spirit of God, into their counseling for there to be real treatment and real help and real progress. Well, what I'm trying to describe to you, you know what you ought to do? Listen to me now. If you're going through a rough time and it's difficult, what you ought to do, ladies and gentlemen, instead of running from the Word, you ought to run to the Word. It's been my experience, and that is those who had hard times in their life and things seem to be falling apart, and they want to point a finger at God and say, why did you let this happen? And want to run away from the Word. But listen to me now. You ought to run to the Word. You're running away from your source of healing. And if you run from the Word to the world, you're running right into the trap of the enemy. You need to run from the world and run to the Word of God. Run to the Word. Open your Bible and start reading it. Listen to the Word of God. You ought to want to hear every message that you can, every Bible study from those who are theologically sound and those that God has placed into your life. You ought to listen to them over and over again. And the Spirit of God will take the Word of God and do a work of healing and help on the inside of your inner person. The Word of God is healing because it's divinely inspired by the Spirit of God. I'm not trying to give you... Listen, the Word of God is not to just give you a bunch of rules, do's, don'ts, do's, don't. Listen to me. The Word of God gives us principles that, listen, that reveal the truth to us, expose the enemy's lies so we can walk in it and experience His healing. The psalmist is trying to describe to us, why is it that he meditates day and night? He says, because it's my counselor. That's why the Word of God, meditating on the Word of God day and night is my counselor to guide me to make the right decisions in the kingdom that I lead. Indeed, it's true. Listen, some of you got a lot of responsibility in your life and you're trying to figure out how to make a decision, what way to go and what to do. I'm going to say to you that, listen, there's a counselor who can help you make the right decisions. It is the Word of God, divinely inspired by the Spirit of God. You ought to meditate on the Word. Listen to verse number 47 of this same psalm. Verse number 47, the Bible says, and I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. Well, that's the reason why he delights in them, because he loves the commandments. My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes. Now, why is the psalmist meditating in the statutes? Well, it's obvious from these verses because he loves the Word of God. Thinking about what it is that he loves. The idea of lifting up his hands, ladies and gentlemen, seems to imply worship. That I worship you based on the Word of God. Lifting up my hands to your Word. What I'm trying to describe to you is the meditation of the psalmist. Listen to verse number 77. In verse number 77, it says, let thy tender mercies come unto me, that I may live, for thy law is my delight. Boy, doesn't he sound like the psalmist in Psalm 1? That is your law. It's what I delight in. Let the proud be ashamed, for they dealt perversely with me without a cause. But I will meditate in thy precepts. This is the psalmist, ladies and gentlemen, that's been treated unjustly and wrongly. You say, Pastor, you just don't know what I've been through. People have treated me wrong. That's what the psalmist is referring to here in these verses. And yet he's found the answer. And that is meditating, that is internalizing, believing and internalizing and meditating on the Word of God. Listen, if you want to be blessed, you've got to separate yourself to this book. Separated from the world and separated to the Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, when Joshua is getting ready to take over the reins of leadership, that is from Moses, and that is Moses got taken home. The Lord took him home before they entered the promised land, and Joshua was going to be the man to lead them, to take Moses' place and lead the Israelites into the land of Canaan. And in Joshua chapter number 1 and verse number 8, there's this one great verse. And that is the key to godly leadership. What was it that made the man of God, Joshua, the great man of God that he was? The man of God, ladies and gentlemen, who led them across the Jordan River at flood stage on dry ground. The man of God that led them to that great walled city called Jericho to march around it those 7 days and see God bring the walls down. You're talking about the blessing of God. When they stepped onto the dry riverbed of the Jordan River, listen, they might have just stopped there and said, you know what, we're walking in God's blessings right about now. Listen, when they got to Jericho and they walked around that city and God brought the walls down, they are experiencing the blessings of God upon them. God is blessing them. But listen, you say, well, what was it about Joshua that he was able to lead the people of God into the blessings of God? And what's the key to that? I mean, I want to know. Because I want to be able to, if I can provide any kind of leadership to lead you to experience the blessings of God, I want to know how to do that. I have a feeling that you probably do as well. And that is, you've got family and friends and people at your jobs and in your neighborhoods that you have relationships with, and you'd like to just influence them and lead them to experience the blessings of God. How's Joshua going to be able to do that? Well, in Joshua chapter 1 and verse number 8, here's what God revealed to him. God said, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. The idea is that is, every time you open your mouth, I want you to be speaking this book. And then he said, and thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Now, doesn't that sound familiar? And that is just like Psalm 1 and verse number 2. It is my meditation, your law is my meditation day and night. God is saying to Joshua, why don't you just follow the advice of the psalmist in Psalm 1? And that is, meditate in the word of God day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Now we're learning that is, Joshua meditating on the law day and night was not just so that he would know what it says, but so that he could actually do what it says. Listen, the meditation, Joshua's meditation on the law day and night is not just so that he would know what the law is, but he would know what the law requires of him. Not just so that he would know about the law, but so that he would know how to live his life. The idea of meditating on the law day and night is so that we'd know what to do. The Word of God reveals to me not only what to believe, but what to do, so I can make the right decisions. So when it comes time to step foot into the Jordan River, I'll know when it's time to step foot. So when it comes time to march around Jericho, I'll know exactly how many days and how many times. You say, how would he know? God's going to reveal it to him. So then when they get into the land of Canaan and they take all the land that God has promised to them, whenever they establish their families so that they'll know how to live as a people. Joshua, you better meditate on this book, on the law, so that you'll know. Now, you know this, don't you? And that is that Joshua didn't go down to the printing press, that is down to the local place where they print things, and just say, I'd like to have, 2 million copies of the law. Here's Moses' law, here's the commandments and statutes that God gave Moses, and I'd like you to give me 2 million prints of those so I can give them to everybody. No, no, no. It just wasn't available. And so listen, if Joshua is going to be able to teach and train the Israelites so that they can be blessed by God in the land of Canaan, he's got to memorize and know what the law says so we can teach them. And by the way, they're just like we are, and they have a tendency not to remember well. And so Joshua is going to have to continue teaching them what God has said in the law. That is, he's going to tell them, this is what God commands. And then a few months later, he's going to have to go back to the same area and say to them again, I told you before, and God hasn't changed His mind. This is still what God commands. For example, God says that you can't have any other gods except Me. I mean, the commandments start off that way. No other gods. Worship God and Him alone. No other gods at all. And here they are living in the land of Canaan, and there are still people groups around them that worship idols. And He's saying to them again, God has said you cannot, no idols, none at all. You cannot participate in this idolatry. It can't have any place in your life. You worship God, Yahweh alone. And He teaches them that, but ladies and gentlemen, He's got to teach them over and over and over and over again. So Joshua, here's what you have to do. If you want to be able to lead these people into experiencing all the blessings that God has for them, then you've got to meditate in the Word of God day and night. You've got to know this book. You've got to know the Word of God. You've got to remember the Word of God. You can't go up to the people and say, well, I can't remember exactly what it was that Moses said in the commandments. No, you've got to know it. And the reason why is so that you can teach it to others, so that you can do the Word of God, so you can stay away from idolatry, so you can obey what God has said. And here's what He said. Here's the promise of that. And that is Joshua, He said in Joshua 1:8, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. Joshua, if you'll just meditate on the Word of God so that you can observe to do it, you're going to be blessed. Not only is Joshua going to be blessed, but ladies and gentlemen, the entire nation can be blessed. And is that not what it is that we desire? That God would bless us? If so, then we must separate ourselves from the world and separate ourselves to the Word so that it becomes our delight, so that it becomes our meditation day and night. Let's pray. Father, I pray the Spirit of God would do His work among us, speak loudly to our hearts, work powerfully in our lives. But those, Father, Lord, I pray that whose hearts have become callous to the Word because we've become affectionate to the world, would You correct us? God, would You do it tonight? God, would You teach us how to separate ourselves from the world and to Your Word? And we'll give You the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you all.